Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday morning, 8:05 a.m. for 55 full minutes. First half of the hour, teaching from God's Word. In the last half of the hour, we're going to bring you some great contemporary Christian and gospel music. And so we say welcome to each and every one of you. And we hope you come back each and every Sunday morning. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. If you've tuned in this morning for the very first time, we say a special welcome to you, and we're thankful for you. And for those who have been faithful listeners now for many weeks and months and years, we're grateful for you, and we thank you. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we invite all of you to participate, to be partners with this ministry. And there's a couple of ways that you can do that. First of all, we invite you to be prayer intercessors and prayer support for this ministry. And if you'd like to take that calling upon yourself to help pray for this ministry, just drop me an email at pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know that you would like to be an intercessor. Let me know that you'd like to be on the email list. And at certain strategic times, I'll email you and let you know what's going on with the ministry, let you know what the prayer needs, the prayer points are. Also, I'll give you updates from the field when I'm in Africa and on the mission field. And so if you would like to do that, just drop me an email at pureprairie@hotmail.com. And secondly, you may partner with this ministry by making a contribution to help pay for this radio airtime and also to help fund ministry activities. As I speak this morning, we're making plans to go back to Africa in September of this year and have two crusades lined up and possibly a third that we're looking into. And so God is opening up doors over there. And in addition to that, I'm trusting the Lord to raise $25,000 to build an orphanage over in Western Kenya for 30 to 40 children. And so if you think you might be interested in that, if the Lord puts that on your heart to help participate, to build an orphanage for 30 to 40 children, well, just get in touch with me again at pureprairie@hotmail.com. We ask you to make a contribution, to come before the Lord with an offering, and to bless the Lord just by giving a sacrificial offering this morning. And there's a couple of ways you can contact us. First, through regular mail, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can look us up on the World Wide Web at gathertheoutcast.com. That's gathertheoutcast.com. And look us up there. There's a PayPal button you can click on and safely and securely make a contribution with your credit card through PayPal. In addition to the website, we have a blog, Jim Rau, teaching blog, jimrau.blogspot.com. That's jimrau.blogspot.com. If you'll go there, you can see over 300 teachings on various subjects, such as spiritual warfare and gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophetic dreams and visions. And so just click on that teaching blog. And you can also make a contribution there with your credit card through PayPal conveniently and safely. So check out that website, gatheredtheoutcast.com. It's all free. Nothing is charged for. And you can see videos of past Africa missions and Costa Rica missions. And you can also see downloads of prophetic dreams and visions, either in audio or regular written print format. And so there's lots to see, lots to look at, and it's all free. We don't charge for anything. So make that available to yourself and just search it out and look for it. And there's plenty there to see and to give you instruction and to keep you busy. We thank you for this opportunity. We just ask that you come before the Lord this morning and help keep this broadcast on the air, help get the word out, the message that Jesus saves, the message of the gospel, the hope of all mankind. And we just pray that you would pick up your part and pray about your part in seeing that that comes about and seeing that it continues. Well, we're going to have a great teaching here in just a minute. We're continuing our series on spiritual warfare, and we're going to look into that teaching on who is Satan and the attributes of Satan. And we're going to come to know our enemy. As in any warfare battle, as any battle, it pays to know your enemy. And so we're going to get to know Satan and look at his attributes, and we'll take that up here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your son Jesus. We thank you for the cross, that he was crucified, that he shed his blood on the cross, that he was resurrected 3 days later, Lord, that he has defeated the sting of death. And we just praise you for that, Lord. I pray for each and every person out there this morning that they would come to know you, that you would meet them wherever they're at, Lord. Those that need healing, those that need strengthening, those that need encouragement, those that need spiritual roadblocks removed and bound, and we just praise you that you are the one who is able to do that, that you set the captives free. Lord, we pray for the city. It would be a city of refuge, Lord, that there would be power and presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, good churches, strong families, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here in this place. We pray for our country, for our president, for the Supreme Court, for the Congress, and for the troops that are protecting our freedoms overseas. Lord, we just ask you to bless them. Lord, we ask you to help us rebuild the hedge around this nation. We ask you to help us rebuild the walls around this nation. And Lord, we pray that you would just strengthen the resolve of the people, strengthen the prayers, Lord. Give us a passion to pray and a passion to repent and turn back from our wicked ways. And you promise in your word that you will heal our land if we turn from our wicked ways. And so we are asking you this morning to heal our land. And we thank you, Lord, that you are able to do this. We pray all this in the name of your precious son, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host. Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we're talking about spiritual warfare. And today we're going to take a look at the physical and spiritual attributes and characteristics of Satan. And I hesitate to call them attributes because they're not really anything we desire to have. They're not anything that we want for ourselves. And yet the Lord gave them to him. The Lord created Satan. And that might beg the question, why did he create him? Well, the Lord wants us to choose. He gave the angels choice. He gave the angels free will when he created them, and he gives us free will and choice when he created us. And so he wants us to choose to worship him. He wants us to choose to bless him and to bring glory to him in our life. And so God is a God of compassion and mercy and loving kindness. He does not want to force himself on anyone. He does not want to force us to worship or to love him or to serve him. And so therefore, he gave the same choice and free will to the demonic realm. That is, he did not create them demonic. He did not create them evil, but they had the propensity, you might say, or the potential to choose evil, and that's what Satan did. The scripture that we looked at last week in Luke 10, verse 17, the 70 disciples returned with joy to Jesus, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." And so Jesus was there. He saw Satan fall. It happened quickly. It happened suddenly, just as we see humans fall sometimes suddenly and quickly when they make poor choices and make decisions that don't bring glory and honor to God in their life. They make decisions that causes their demise quickly and suddenly. And so, too, Satan was filled with pride. We're going to look at that in just a minute, scripture about Satan being filled with pride. And he fell quickly. Jesus said he fell like lightning, and he fell from the heavenly realm to the realm of this earth and to the second heaven, which is the universe where Satan prowls around, where Satan is on this earth prowling around like a lion. And Peter, it tells us that he is prowls around on this earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so he's very intent on taking people down with him. He's intent on stealing, killing, and destroying. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and to give life abundantly. Well, Jesus went on to say in verse 19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." And so Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on the serpents and scorpions. I've given you authority over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. And so all Jesus wants us to do is line up with him, to agree with him, to come into step with him. And when we do that, when we come into step with Jesus Christ, then we have the authority and the power to take authority over the demonic, over the harassment and torment and possession of the enemy as he tries to rip us away from the kingdom. And I want to talk just a minute about the teaching that's going around that in many churches and in certain individuals, that if you become a believer, if you're a Christian, that the devil no longer then has any hold on you, that he doesn't want to harass you, he doesn't want to torment you. And I agree that there is no demon possession amongst born-again believers, but there certainly is demonic strongholds, there certainly is soul ties, there is certainly fleshly desires that need to be dealt with. Paul said in Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so Paul recognizes that it's not a done deal, it's not finished when you become a born-again believer, that there is work to do, and it's not work for salvation, but just to work out your salvation. In other words, to work out of your salvation with fear and trembling, those things that separate you from God, those things that pull you away from God. And the devil, brothers and sisters, the devil wants to tear you away from God. He wants to tear the gifts of the Holy Spirit away from you. He wants to tear your anointings away from you and your calling away from you. He wants to get you distracted and let you wander around out there in the wilderness. And if he can, he will kill you and he will destroy you. And so the devil has no compassion for you, has no mercy for you, and he will attack children. He will take advantage and exploit people in the most sorry circumstances, and he is not compassionate. He does not care. He'll take you and destroy you in any way that he can. And so God's will is that you stay steadfast in him. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12 to stand firm. Stand firm. Therefore, stand firm and take on or put on the whole armor of God. And so that's God's will, that you put on the whole armor of God. So don't go to sleep and believe that the devil is not going to bother you just because you're a believer, that somehow when you walk into a church, he checks out at the door and doesn't bother believers. Don't go to sleep and believe that teaching, because it is a lie from the pit of hell. And when the devil gets us to believe in that, then the church is not prepared for warfare. The church goes to sleep. They don't acknowledge that the devil is still active and trying to tear them away from the kingdom. And so many Christians are backslidden. They're in a place in their life where they're not actively engaged in the Christian walk, in the Christian battle. They're not actively engaged in ministry. They're not actively engaged in pushing the gospel out there to the nations. And as a result, the devil gets the victory. It's not necessarily a salvation thing. I'm not saying that the devil will steal your salvation, although I believe he can if you backslide to the point where you actually deny Jesus. But it's more about, are you an effective warrior in the kingdom of God? Are you an effective warrior in the army of God? Or are you just standing on the sidelines watching a few people carry the torch and carry the banner, and you don't really have anything to do with getting in the scuffle and getting in the battle? Well, in Ezekiel 28, if you'll turn in your Bible there to Ezekiel 28, we're going to look at a picture of who the devil is. And this is a picture of an earthly man, the leader of Tyre, or the king of Tyre, which was a city in what would be now Lebanon. And we're looking through this earthly man, we're looking through him, and we're looking at the behavior, the attributes of this man, and this is a picture or a description of the devil spoken about this earthly king, the king of Tyre. And in verse 1, Ezekiel 28, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god, and I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the seas, yet you are a man and not God, although you make your heart like the heart of God. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is a match for you. By your wisdom and understanding, you have acquired riches for yourself and have acquired gold and silver for your treasuries. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up by your riches, because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die the death of those who are slain in the heart of the seas. Will you still say, I am a god in the presence of your slayer, although you are a man and not God? In the hands of those who wound you, you will die the death of the uncircumcised by the hands of strangers. For I have spoken, declares the Lord. And so we see a few things here about the characteristics of the devil. Number one is that he became very proud. He thought that he was so proud that he was going to take over the throne of God. And we read last week, and I'm going to go back and read that here again, Isaiah, the 14th chapter, I wills, there's five I wills that Satan spoke out, or he thought in his mind that he was going to take over, and he was going to ascend to the mountain of God, and he was going to replace God on God's throne. Isaiah 14, verse 12, Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, and here starts the I wills, which Satan spoke out and which Satan desired, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And so Satan thought that he was going to replace God. He got so proud about who he was and about his beauty that he thought he was going to replace God, and he will make himself like the Most High. And, you know, sometimes we as humans get to be that way, that we get so proud of who we are. We get proud of our accomplishments. We get proud of our possessions and the things that we've accumulated. We get proud of our money and our homes and our farms. And God says, I'm the one who gave you wealth. I'm the one who gave you the ability to make wealth. Deuteronomy 8, the whole chapter, go back and read it when you get time. Deuteronomy 8 is a warning to the children of Israel that when they went into the promised land, they would find wells and cisterns dug, and they would find orchards bearing fruit and grapevines and olive trees bearing fruit. And the Lord says, when you get into the promised land, and when you become fat and luxurious, and when you become successful, and when you prosper, the Lord says, don't forget about who gave you these things. Don't forget about who gave you the power to make wealth. Don't forget about who gave you the air to breathe when you got up this morning, and the sun to shine so your crops would grow and the rain to fall from the clouds. And God warned the children of Israel that if you do this, I will surely give you into your hands, into the hands of your enemies, and you shall perish. And I will surely take these things away from you and humble you if you forget about me, and if you turn to seek other gods and you turn to worship other gods. Well, brothers and sisters, that's kind of a description of what's happening here in America today. God is removing the hedge of protection around this nation. God is going to humble the people in this nation so that they will cry out to him, so that they will seek him. God is going to allow our enemies, those who the strangers. He said in Ezekiel 28:7, "Behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor." Well, you see what's happening now. Korea is threatening to lob nuclear missiles over the United States, and Russia is also threatening in many ways to up the ante in the nuclear race. And so we have enemies without, we have enemies within, Al-Qaeda within. And so God is removing the hedge of protection from this nation so that we will eventually turn to Him, that we will seek Him, and we will acknowledge our Creator. We will acknowledge who He is and what He has given us. And so Satan got so proud, and the riches that he had is just like the standard of living in America. In verse 4, it says, "By your wisdom and understanding, you have acquired riches for yourself. You have acquired gold and silver for your treasury, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches." And so it is with many people here in America. We are lifted up, and we are proud of our riches. And the Lord says in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. And so God hates pride. He does not want us to be proud. He wants us to acknowledge Him in everything that we do and acknowledge Him in every decision and consult the Holy Spirit of God. If you are a believer today, consult the Holy Spirit and ask Him for direction and acknowledge your dependence upon Him. Well, in Ezekiel 28, verse 11, then we start to see a picture of the physical aspects, the physical attributes of Satan. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, lapis lazuli, the turquoise, the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared." And so this passage of Scripture acknowledges that Satan was created. It says, on the day that you were created, all of these precious stones were on you, the settings, the sockets, the gold. Verse 14, "You were the anointed cherub who covers," or in other words, you were the anointed angel who covers and guards the throne of God, "and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created." There's another reference to the fact that the devil was created by God. "You were blameless in your ways until the days that you were created, until unrighteousness was found in you." In verse 16, "By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. And I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. And by the multitude of your iniquities in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you." And that is a description of Satan. He's the lowliest of creatures. He's the lowest, slimiest, trickiest, and most disgusting of all of God's creation. And his desire to rip the children of God away from the kingdom, his desire even to destroy Jesus Christ, his desire to corrupt the whole human race with his harlotry, with his debauchery, is noted all throughout the Bible. He corrupted the whole human race to the point where God had to allow the flood to come in to wipe out all of the human race except for one family, Noah and his family. And I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, that Satan has not changed his tactics one single bit. He's not backed off of his desire because he is a fool and because he desires to rip everybody away from the kingdom. He's going to be at it till the very last breath that he takes before the devil is thrown into the lake of fire in Revelation, the 21st chapter, and he is finished for all eternity. And you have a choice to make whether you're going to be on the side of the kingdom victories, the kingdom victors and Jesus Christ and the angels who stayed with Jesus, or you're going to serve the kingdom of darkness and you're going to be on the side of the devil, the loser in this battle, and those who are of the demonic realm who want to steal, kill, and destroy and do all kinds of acts of debauchery. And if that is your choice, I would pray for you today, and I would ask you to look in the mirror and examine yourself and see if that's what you really want for your life, or do you want to have eternal life with the Savior? Do you want to have eternal life with Jesus Christ, the Son of Jehovah God, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of all mankind? Well, that's what it boils down to. The battle is no different than it was when Satan fell from heaven like lightning. There's still a battle going on. Satan is on this earth, and he's in the heavenly realm, not the third heaven where the throne of God is, but he's in the heavenly realm battling with the angels and the fallen angels. The demons are battling with God's angels, and so there's a great invisible battle going on over the souls of mankind, over the soul of this nation. And I just pray that you are on the right side this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray you do that today. If you've never accepted him and you never have submitted yourself to your Creator, the one who created you, I pray that you would do that today. Just get down on your knees and do business with God. Get down on your knees and say, God, I thank you for creating me who you are, to love you and to seek you. And then repent, ask the Lord to take your sins away, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, repent of all those things where you know you have separated yourself from God, repent of those things, and just say, Lord, I'm turning from my wicked ways, come in and cleanse my heart, come in and take these things from me, and God will be faithful and true, and Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient for all of your sins. Jesus Christ's blood cleanses us of all unrighteousness if we are faithful to confess our sins. And so we can start anew this day, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. You can start new this day and acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he will be faithful and true to save you for all eternity. Follow it up with Christian baptism. Just acknowledge the Lord in everything you do. And let me know if you make a decision like that. Just let me know. Drop me an email at pureprayer@hotmail.com and let me know that you've made that decision. I'll get you some materials to start you on your Christian walk. And you will be a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away. And what God has done for me and many others, he will do for you likewise if you will just trust him and make that decision today. Well, next week we're going to talk more about spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about the battle that's going on over this nation and over you individually. And so if you would tune in for that next week, you will enjoy that. Let others know about this broadcast, and we'll join you next week. Have a great week. God bless you.